Hi everyone, welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with OU Women's Initiative. This week we're up to Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor has a lot of different topics in it, and that's really our question for today. What are all these different topics doing in Parshat Emor? It starts out, Parshat Emor, with the laws of the Kohanim, and that's the first thing that we want to address. The topic of Kohanim seemingly should really be in the first half of the Sefer. We spoke about how the first half of the Sefer is all about the Mishkan and the Karbano, the Kohanim, the Chanukah, the Mishkan, the laws of Tuma V'Tara, and the climax with the laws of Yom HaKippurim. And so the laws of the Kohanim really belongs in the first half of the Sefer. And so when we look at the opening of the Parsha, when we understand what these laws of the Kohanim are about, we can understand what it's doing over here in Parshas Emor. The laws of the Kohanim here aren't talking about the laws of the Kohanim in the Mishkan. It's actually talking about who the Kohen can marry, who he can't marry, and as well as the Kohen Gadol, who he's allowed to become Tamei Metu, who he can't become Tamei Metu. And these laws for the Kohen are actually in their life outside of the Mishkan. The Kohen also leaves his office and goes home. And what does his family life look like? The second half of the Sefer, we said, is about taking all the Kedusha from the first half and bringing it into our everyday life outside of the Mishkan. And that was last week's Parsha of Kedoshim. How does that intense relationship with Hashem affects our relationship outside of the Mishkan, with our parents, with our family members, with our friends, with our neighbors, all the interpersonal relationships. And that's the Kedush Adam of Parsha Kedoshim. And that section of Kedush Adam actually continues into Parsha Emor over here, meaning the laws of Kedushat Adam, but now for the Kohen specifically, they have a higher standard than the rest of Klal Yisrael, and they're restricted in who they can marry and who they can become Tamei Metu. And so this section about the laws for the Kohanim actually fits in perfectly to the Kedushat Adam section. And that's why the climax over here of the laws of the Kohanim climaxes with the Kedushat Adam, not just for the Kohen, but really for all of Klal Yisrael. And the end of this Kedushat Adam section in the second half of the Sefer is with the mitzvah of Nikdashti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, the laws of Kiddush Hashem, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam goes at length to describe what the halachot are for Kiddush Hashem, when a person would be chayev to give their life for Kiddush Hashem. Rav Noach Weinberg famously is quoted as having said that a person needs to know what he would be willing to die for, meaning, and we have laws, and the Rambam codifies the halacha exactly when a person, we shouldn't need to come up to this situation, but a person, when they would be chayv to give their life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Rav Noach said, if a person doesn't know what they're willing to die for, then they don't know what they're living for. And so a person has to know what they would give their life, what they would sacrifice their life for, and then go and live their life for that value. And so the highest value in the Kedushat Adam section, and this is the mission of every Jew, is Kiddush Hashem, but not just to die al Kiddush Hashem, but to live our life al Kiddush Hashem, to be a walking Kiddush Hashem, to be a walking representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should see you and say, wow, that's what it means to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to live the Torah. I want to be like that, to be that walking representative of Hashem in this world. And so that's the conclusion of the Kedushat Adam section, but it's not the conclusion of the Parsha. The end of the Parsha, and we're skipping the middle, which we'll come back to momentarily, the end of the Parsha gets to the second and last story in all of Sefer Vayikra, and that's the story of the Makala. The first story in Sefer Vayikra was the story of the death of Nadav and Avihu in the Chanukah of Mishkan, and we understood why that fits into the first half of the Sefer. And now all of a sudden we have the story of the Makala over here in the second half of Sefer Vayikra, and by and large, almost entirely, Sefer Vayikra is all halachot and mitzvah based without any story and narratives. And so whenever there's a story, this is the second and last. So we need to understand what it's doing over here. The story of the Makala is about this person who goes out and in front of all of Klal Yisrael curses Hashem. He's it's also known as the Macharif and Magadi. And the question is, what is this doing in Sefer VaYikra? The much more appropriate place where we could have imagined this story is in Sefer BaMidbar. There's a long list of stories and sins that Bnei Yisrael committed in the Midbar, and this would have fit perfectly over there. So I would like to suggest that maybe this story is in Sefer VaYikra, and specifically over here in Parshas Emor, because the Sefer as a whole, we said, is about Kedusha, and this guy is the foil. He's the exact opposite of what a Kaddish person is supposed to behave like, and specifically it's in Parshas Emor, because Parshas Emor is the climax of that Kedushat Adam with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and this person goes out and publicly disgraces the name of Hashem. Maybe one other suggestion briefly we'll make is the Rambam points out, the only time we have someone that's put to death, where before he's put to death, anyone that heard him curse Hashem is v'samchu kol Hashem me'idei marosho. They do smicha on this guy that cursed Hashem over here, and if it would happen again, that would be the halacha as well. And so the only other time where we have smicha is by the animal, by the carbon. We have smicha when a person is giving smicha, but they're leaning both hands like that, so it's very reminiscent of a carbon. And so we could say that perhaps maybe the story of the Makala also is in Sefer VaYikra, because it's according to the Ramban, the Sefer HaKarbanot, and everything is somehow tangentially related to Karbanot. And so this guy is almost like a human carbon, that the people heard him curse, and the Netziv explains back in the beginning of Sefer VaYikra that even to hear someone say something wrong, it's reflective of something bad that I did within myself. Meaning, if I saw something with my own eyes, if I heard something with my own ears, so even if I didn't commit that avera, Hashem put me in that situation where I heard it, where I saw it, where I witnessed it, and it's meant to teach me a lesson, meaning that means somehow I was zocha to see this in a negative way, or zocha to hear it in a negative way, and I am then almost like chayav, some sort of karban. That's how the Netziv explains, and this Mekalel is somehow then a carbon for whatever I witnessed or heard, and the story of the Mekalel then would fit in very well to the Ramban's explanation of the Sefer HaKarbanot. The middle of the parsha is about the Mawadim, and this is actually the main place where we have the Mawadim in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There's really five places where the Mawadim are mentioned in the Torah, twice in Shemot, once over here in VaYikra, once in BaMidbar, and then again in Sefer Devarim. But in all of those places, it's not complete, meaning in Sefer Shemot, only the Shlosh Regalim are mentioned. In Sefer BaMidbar, doesn't mention the mitzvot of each chag, it just talks about the karbanot. In Sefer Devarim, also only the Shlosh Regalim are mentioned, and it talks about the main mitzvah being Olel Regal and the mitzvah of Simcha and the Mawadim, but it doesn't talk about the Yamim Noraim. So in VaYikra over here, it's the only one of all these five places of the Mawadim being mentioned where we have not just the Shlosh Regalim, but also the Yamim Noraim. So we have all five of the Doraisa holidays mentioned, and we have both the lunar and the solar calendar. So only Judaism goes by both the lunar and the solar calendar. Some religions count by the solar calendar, which is the agricultural season. Some religions, like Islam, count by only the lunar calendar. And only Klal Yisrael, we count by the lunar and the solar calendar, meaning the moon and the sun. And over here in Sefer VaYikra, we also have the description of each holiday in all their glory, meaning the main mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar, the main mitzvah of Yom Kippur is Inui, the main mitzvah of Sukkot is sitting in the sukkah and the dalaminim, the main mitzvah of Pesach is eating the matzah, etc. And so Vayikra, in many ways, because of the all of the dates and all of the mention of all five holidays and each main mitzvah for each chag being mentioned, so this is actually the main place of the Moadim in the Torah, and the question is why. So the Torah here refers to the holidays as a Moed, and a Moed, the root of Moed is Vav Ayin Dalet Avad. Avad is a meeting, just like we talked about the Ohel Moed, which is like the tent of meeting, the Mishkan. So the Moadim are really a meeting place with Hashem, a meeting time with Hashem. We meet Hashem every Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those are meeting times with Hashem, and actually Shabbos is also on the list of the Moadim over here at the beginning. It's also a meeting time with Hashem. It's included in the list, and then there's another introduction after Shabbos, almost excluding it from the list. It's a different kind of a Moed, but it's also a meeting time with Hashem. And so these meeting times with Hashem, this is the Kedushat Zman section of Sefer Vayikra, and that's what it's doing over here in Parshas Emor. After we conclude the Kedushat Adam section, we move into the Moadim, which is the Kedushat Zman. How do I translate that holy relationship that I have with Hashem, that close connection from the first half of the Sefer, not just into who I am as a person, but to what my time looks like? How do I bring that into every single week, into my Shabbos, into all these Moadim, the meeting times with Hashem? And so the lunar and the solar calendar actually reflect that also, meaning the lunar calendar is always based on, let's say the 15th of the month is when this happens, and the 10th of the month is this. It's reflecting the Hashgacha practice of Hashem in history. And the solar calendar, which controls the agricultural seasons, is reflecting the Hashgacha of Hashem in nature. And in Sefer Vayikra, we see them both, and we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways on all of these different times. At the conclusion of this Perek Chaf Gimel, which is the Parsha of the Moadim, we have another section over here in the Parsha, which is also strange. The Torah briefly talks about, before it gets into the Mekalel, the laws of the menorah and the Shulchan. And the question is why. We would have thought that that also belongs in the first half of the Sefer. The Mishkan talks about these two kelim out of nowhere. And so Rav Hirsch actually has a very beautiful explanation where he mentions that it's actually coming right after the Parsha of the Moadim, the Shulchan and the Menorah, because if you look at that description of those two kelim, there's a phrase that comes up four different times, and that phrase is Lifnei Hashem Tamid, the Ner Tamid, or the Lacham Apanim. They're in front of Hashem Tamid, constantly or consistently. And the Rav Hirsch explains that the description over here, the Shulchan and the Menorah, is coming almost to contrast or to counteract what someone may have misunderstood about the Moadim. Meaning, obviously, we have Shabbos. We come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Shabbos. And obviously, we have the Moadim, which are special meeting times with Hashem. And there's so much to take out of those times. And even the time period that we're in is included in the Parsha of Moadim. The period between Pesach and Shavuos is a special meeting time with Hashem of Suras HaOmer. But the right after that, the Torah wants to almost balance out with the Shulchan and the Menorah that our relationship with Hashem can't be relegated to different times, meaning, oh, that's when I come close to Hashem. I come all week long, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that, and I barely have time to think about Hashem. Okay, Shabbos, that's the day, I'll go back. So obviously Shabbos is meant to rejuvenate us and to recharge in a different way. And Pesach and all the Moadim and Shavuos and Tzvos Omer, they're special times, and we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those times. But the most important is that we should be Lifnei Hashem Tamid, that it's not enough to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu relegated to different times of our year or times of our week or even times of our day. The highest relationship that we could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of time is that it should be tamid. It's that it should be all the time. It should be consistent. It should be constant. It should be shaviti Hashem the negdi tamid. And that's why there's another opinion in the Gemara that the, even though one very prevalent opinion is that the Klal Gadol of the Torah is V'hatrecha Kamocha, like we spoke about in last week's Parsha, another opinion is that the most important pasuk in the Torah is Hakavas Achad Taseh B'Bokeh V'Hakavas Hashani Taseh B'in Harbayim, meaning the Karban Tamid, that we should always be have that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the parsha is coming to teach us, that it's not enough to come close to Hashem in all of those special days and special meeting times with Hashem, but Be'ezrat Hashem we should be zocha to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives and have to have that relationship and connection with Him all the time through all the different days of the year and all the different kufos and stages of our lives. We should be zocha to be close to Him. Wishing you a beautiful Shabbos.